kids, or they eat and breathe it. They know it by nature almost. And while we have to work hard to learn some of it, they come so natural to them because it's all they've known in their lives. But technology, we need to understand, from televisions to the internet, is ultimately morally neutral. It is good or bad based on how you use it. The internet can bring great things. Television has great programming on it as well as some horrible programming on it. It is based on how you use it or how you view it. You know, most of us here tonight use some type of technology in our daily lives. Most of us here use cell phones. Most of us here are on the internet in some form to some degree or another, so it is a part of our lives. Is there a way that we can use that technology that so permeates our lives? Is there a way that we can use it to fulfill God's vision? To fulfill His purposes in the world? Can we use it to fulfill His purposes in regards to the Great Commission, in regards to bringing the lost of this world to Jesus Christ? Our purpose is to go into all the world. Our purpose is to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that He has commanded, because He's with us even to the end of the age. In the past, I think that we have recognized the opportunities that were presented by technology over the years. Too often, though, we are kind of slow. We do not pioneer. We kind of bring up the rear. You know, other people pioneer it. The religious world out there pioneers it. Devil certainly pioneers technology, doesn't he? He's right there on the front edge of it. And yet sometimes we're a little slow to grasp the nature of which we could use it for God. And we spend our time playing catch up. And in the rapidly changing world today of technology, slow movement causes us to be perpetually behind and failing to really reap the harvest that we could by bringing God's Word to these technologies. I want us to look at a few of the technologies that we have used in the church to great effect over the years, in the last few decades. We certainly took radio, and churches have used radio for years and continue to use it to great effect, and they have for decades now. They have done everything from 30 to 60 second devotionals to worship services to question and answers that were live. I've been a part of churches that have done every one of those to some degree or another. I remember when I was growing up that Brother Haskell Sparks had 60 golden seconds on the radio. And I remember very clearly hearing him speak on a daily basis on the radio at different times. I guess Brother V.E. Howard was as successful as about anybody in the church on the radio with his lessons. They were even placed in a book, 35 Years Are You Listening? Book that gave his lessons that he preached for so many years over those 35 years on the radio. And there is still value with radio programs, yet we have to acknowledge the shortcomings that are now beginning to develop with the advent of MP3 players, satellite radio. The local radio stations are getting less and less listeners. And there are so many as well that cut down as well on our ability to truly reach out with radio. Certainly television has been a part of the Lord's church in the last few decades. Congregations have used television for advertisements. They've televised their worship services and other forms of teaching programs. Programs such as The Amazing Grace Bible Hour with Brother Ira North. I remember that when I was a small child watching Brother Ira North in his red jacket preaching. And some of you probably remember The Amazing Grace Bible Hour. He was a powerful speaker, and that was a powerful program in its day. But maybe the most successful work in the church on television would be In Search of the Lord's Way by Brother Mac Lyon. You can just about go all over this country and you will find churches advertising In Search of the Lord's Way that they sponsor. I actually worked with the congregation that started In Search of the Lord's Way with Brother Mac Lyon. And so I know that work and know how that it has expanded from what they thought would be two or three stations to now to hundreds of television stations across this land where Brother Mac Lyon, and he is a unique person himself and his ability to present it. Brother Mac Lyon can tell you that you're going to go to hell. But you'll love him for it because he'll also tell you what to do about it. But he has this grandfatherly way about him, doesn't he? He can just tell you exactly what you're doing and you won't get mad at Brother McLean because of the way he does it. He has a unique charisma that I'm not sure we can ever replace in the Lord's church. But while there is still much done on television, cost is often prohibitive. It is prohibitive outside of local access cable channels now. In addition, we know that no longer are the days when you have 3 to 5 channels, right? Like back in the 80s. You remember the days when the president spoke? That's all you got. I mean, you had to watch him, whether you liked him or not. You had to watch him because that was the only thing on. Gone are the days of 3 to 5 channels or just 3 networks, you know, where everybody was kind of focused in or funneled into these 3 channels. Now your basic cable plan has what? At least 100 channels. And if you don't like what you're seeing or you get a little bored or the commercials come on, off you go, right? Find something else. Flip to the guide and look at what else is on. And we can certainly find something probably that will get our attentions. And so we watch less and less of our local stations. We often prefer cable stations instead. And this causes the shrinking of the audience and the television programs that we're using to reach out as well. Over the years, we used audio tapes. Oh, my. You could pave this country in audio tapes that the church has made. I have worked with congregations that had rooms that were full of boxes, and you open the boxes, and all that was in the boxes was audio tapes. I have no telling how much money was spent buying audio tapes, and now they were stored in boxes. We audio taped everything, didn't we? And we sent some out. I'll grant that. And there was a lot of good audio tapes made at our lectureships and things of that nature that preachers have gotten. I've got boxes full of audio tapes from lectureships and everything else that I've managed to acquire over the years just for my own personal listening. But you know, this medium was good, and we got in on it early, and we committed to it. But tapes have kind of gone the way of LPs, haven't they? In 8-tracks. How many of you still have a cassette player? Well, a spattern. Okay, there's a few. There's a few of you old hardcore, I'm going to stay with it people, right? They may not make any more, but I'm going to be able to listen to the ones that are out there. You know, but it is one of those mediums that have kind of gone away. Videotapes. Videotapes were used sporadically by the church because of the difficulty of really producing good videotapes and quality, it had to be in a congregation that had very unique talents to be able to do it. This was back before the day your computer could make a movie just with a punch of a button. I used to actually do home video or wedding videos and things of that nature before they had the ease of computers, and that was a pain. So it never did really take off like we would have liked maybe for it to, but these two have pretty much gone away as well and are no longer a widely used technology. We cannot live on our past successes as the church. We cannot look back at what we've used and say, well, that was successful, and we'll just kind of sit there and say we were successful at that. Because those things that we have been successful with in the past will not save anyone today. They will not save anyone tomorrow. They did their share in helping us bring people to salvation in the past, but we have to continue to move forward as we continue to try to bring the gospel to a generation that sees things and experiences things through technology more than ever before. We have to be looking for the opportunities that exist today. What technologies can be used today to fulfill God's purposes? Well, certainly using computers is going to be at the top of that list. It must be at the forefront of our endeavors. So many people of all demographics now have access or own a computer. So how do we take advantage of the computers? And sorry to all you PC people, I'm a Mac person. Maybe one day you'll wise up and come around. You know, the primary means of using computers is by using the Internet. You know, we literally, and if you look at the picture, it has the little at symbol. If you don't know what that is for, you know, at something is the A there with the little swirl around. I don't know what that's called. But literally, when you're sitting at your computer, you are sitting at the world because you have access to it. You're able to reach out throughout the world. And we will talk about some of the statistics that support such a statement in just a few moments. But quickly, though I want us to look at the different means in which we can use the computer to take advantage of things such as the internet to bring about the purposes of God. Number one is websites. We're able to provide large amounts of information, large amounts of instruction at a place that people know exactly where to go by going to a website. And we have a great website here. I told you all that one of the things that impressed me right out of the gate was the website here when I was considering coming here. I looked at your website. It was very informative, very well laid out. It's done very well and kept up to date, which is one of the difficulties of it. But websites can do a great work for the Lord's church. You take such as scripturesay.com from the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Prescott, Arizona with Brother Mike Scott. I know Brother Mike, and it's an amazing work that he does with scripturesay.com. That particular website is linked to a television program that he does as well, talking about television, going back to another technology we've already talked about. But it does a great work because his whole television program is just answering Bible questions that people have. And then he takes all those questions and he puts them online and he gets millions of hits every year. People looking for Bible answers to Bible questions. So we see that he has a great deal of success. And the Christian Courier with Brother Wayne Jackson is a great resource out there for people seeking the truth. ApologeticsPress.com is also another place that has great information for us. We also use email. I get a lot of these from Julie on a daily basis, even though she's two doors from me. She still seems to find it necessary. Is Julie here? Okay. Yeah, there you are. Hey. She told me, she said, get ready, because I'm going to be coming in emails all the time, and she wasn't kidding. She's an honest woman. You know, the ability to constantly contact people. You don't have to put a stamp on it and wait for days till it gets there, until it gets back. This ability to instantly send a message or to answer a question and send it right back to the person is an amazing thing for us to do. World Bible School now has a large component within it now that does World Bible School through email. And I know the lady that is in charge of that, and that is just exploding in their ability to get out there and teach the gospel through the means of email. I know that. I think we have this advertised on our website as well, the Living Waters email that comes out of the Creekwood congregation in Montgomery, Alabama. A great evangelistic email that goes out every week. Now, I don't know what the current numbers are, but I know just a few years ago in talking to them, they were sending out over 40,000 a week. 40,000 emails a week with a message about the gospel. It always ends with the plan of salvation. And those 40,000, he said, I don't even know how many it's really going out to, because a lot of our people have said they send it out to everybody on their list. So we don't know it. You know, when you talk about it going viral, it goes out there. So 40,000 and then all the ones that get sent to other people. So it has an opportunity to do a great work. Instant messaging. This is how we can live, you know, have live, back and forth, rather, conversations with a prospect, someone who has questions, to be able to go back and forth just instantly, not through an email, not where you have to do a respond, but it's right there, bing, it pops on your screen, you answer, you send it right back, and they come right back in a conversation-type situation. The EquipNetwork.com, which has been started by brethren in the Lord's Church, are trying to pioneer this effort. And they are coming out with all kinds of efforts in which you can go to this place and they have live programs where they're talking, but you can instantly talk to them through chat. And they will answer your questions as they go. And this is having, I think, a great deal of success. They have some for teenagers. They have some for preachers. They have them for tech people. They have them for people that want to know how to deal with culture better. I mean, there is a plethora of subjects out there that these things can be given to. We have also video and audio, and this goes back to the Equip Network. If you're not able to be there when they come on live, you can still podcast it down to my iPhone. You know, I probably, on iTunes, I probably have 260, 270, last time I looked, I think, podcasts of lessons and things that I listen to at various times. So you can still get those lessons and still listen to them, even though you weren't there when it was live. You can subscribe to it, and it'll download to your computer or to your phone or to other devices when you log on to your computer. You know, when we take video and we put it onto YouTube, and most of the YouTube videos are just worthless, aren't they? I mean, just Let's just be honest. They're funny, some of them. Some of them are not worth watching. Don't ever bring them up. But some of them are just, they're just, half of them are goofy. But folks, what can we do there? Something besides goofy. The biggest responses I've ever gotten as far as people wanting to talk Bible, or at least argue Bible, I guess you could say, is when I put videos on YouTube on baptism. Oh, they came out of the woodwork. They were after me. In fact, I got an email not too long ago said, since I'm a liar, I have to be a part of a cult because cults lie. I don't know how much that logic works. But they're watching the videos. They don't like them. Do you realize that there are 2 billion videos viewed on YouTube every single day? 2 billion videos. Do you realize that every minute, 24 hours of video is downloaded onto YouTube? Every minute, there are 24 hours being downloaded onto that website. People are there. Where are we? When we look at the apostles, when we look at the first century church, they went to where the people were, didn't they? They went to the temple. Why? Because that's where the people were. Paul went to the synagogues because the people gathered there. We need to be where the people are, that we might be able to teach them the truth that they so desperately need. Then we have social networks and blogs, constant source of teaching and influence, if you can get past the annoyances. I was talking to Jeff before, I said, you know, every so often I have to just go through my friends list and cull it down just a little bit. Do I really know you? Or did you just somehow get in here? And I see people, I kind of get tickled at people that got to tell you everything that they're doing, right? Just got out of the shower, just dried off. I'm thinking, how do you know, your computer's going to get wet. Because, I mean, they tell you everything, eating eggs. You know, sometimes me and the preacher that I worked with in Texas, we'd just put things on there like I just coughed. He put, I'm breathing. You know, I mean, just because we felt like, well, we want to do it too, since everybody else is putting stupid little things. But, you know, there are ways that we can use that to show the gospel and to teach the gospel and to direct people toward those things that are right and true. Another technology that is truly revolutionizing the way we function on a daily basis is a smartphone. I even went both ways here. I put the Android on there, so don't accuse me of just being exclusively Apple. But the smartphones, all what they can do today and all that we have in our pockets, iPhones and Androids are becoming mainstays on our hips. And they carry so much of our information, so much of the things that we look at and we view. I read pretty much all my secular books off my iPhone now. I can't stand to buy books anymore. I read it out of iBooks or off of Amazon or Nook, because that's the way I prefer to do it now. When I go somewhere, I have every book that I bought in the last few months that I can choose to read or not to read, or, you know, have a lot of different choices. So they are becoming instruments that we have to get into people's lives. You know, one particular church that I know of, Spring Meadow in Tennessee, where Dale Jenkins preaches, they now have an iPhone and Android app. And literally, when you select it, it brings up all the pertinent information for that congregation. It brings up his sermons. It brings up his blogs. It does everything. It brings you automatically to all the information we want people to get. So he's reaching out and he's getting into people's pockets, so to speak. We need to as well. You know, there are DVDs, of course, and this is a tried and trusted technology, and, you know, but it's something that has great untapped potential in the church for spreading the gospel to others. And we need to take advantage of that. We used that in Texas with Proof of Love, a program we call Proof of Love, where we reached out to congregations that didn't have preachers, small congregations out west that didn't have preachers, a family in Dillingham, Alaska, where they were the only Christians in that town. Had no church to go to. And we provided them sermons. We provided them Bible class material on DVDs so that they could continue to move forward in their Christian life. So they could have something that made them feel a part of work. So, you know, we have an opportunity to help not only those outside of the church, but those, our brothers and sisters in the church that are struggling around the world and in our country. You know, using computers is extremely cost effective now for churches. You know, most churches and many members already have computers. So it's not like you necessarily have to go buy a new one, but we have them and we can use them. We just need to retool them for God's purposes. I said a few moments ago that we are literally at the world when we are at our computers. A computer can connect literally to millions of people around the globe. Imagine, Jonah, advance one more. Imagine the cost of sending a million audio cassettes to anywhere. Imagine the cost of that, especially the way postage is going up, right? It would cost us enormous amounts of money, but yet we have that kind of outreach on the other side of our keyboards, the other side of our screens. We give ourselves to that. You know, the potential for the Great Commission is absolutely enormous when you consider that on the Internet there are 2 billion users worldwide on the Internet now. 2 billion. Almost a third of the people that live up on this earth are on the Internet. 500 million of those users speak English. So, you know, if you're like me and you're barely English literate, you don't have to worry about learning another language because, you know, you're still working on your own. So, you know, 500 million people, that's more than in the United States, that speak English. There are 260 million Americans that are online today. These are our neighbors. These are our friends. These are the people in our community, in our state. We have an opportunity to reach out to them. There are literally millions of searches every day on God and religion. Who is answering the search? Where do they get their information? What pops up on Google when they search for God? When they search for religion? I find it interesting that of the top 2 searches on the Internet, number 1 is pornography. And number 2 is God. We're in a battle, folks. We're in a battle and we need to have the information. We have what people need. May we not keep it to ourselves. May we make certain that we get it out there where they're looking. You know, how we use this tool is ultimately a matter of stewardship. God certainly in His all-knowing mind saw this age. He saw the opportunity that we have and He wants us to use it. God has always expected the church to take and make the most of what has been provided in order to be able to fulfill the Great Commission. Paul traveled in boats. He traveled on foot. He used all the different means to get out and get around and to spread the gospel. Today, we can still go by plane. We can still go by boat. We can still walk to places. And we can drive our cars or whatever. But we have so much more. We have so much more of an ability now to reach the world, unlike the church has ever had in its history. I have mailed CDs and DVDs and free Bibles to India, to Australia, to Indonesia, to Muslim countries, where I would be killed if I spoke a word of the Bible on the street. To China, where we have brethren that have their legs broken by Chinese police for printing the Bible in Chinese. But I can reach in and have an opportunity to convert someone through the Internet. You know, John chapter 1 and verse 3 says, all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him nothing came into being that has come into being. God has seen it all. He knows exactly what's out there, and He knows exactly what we can use for His purposes. How do we use it most effectively? Well, we need to see the groups that we are targeting, our audiences. We have 3 audiences when we deal in the Internet. We have an internal audience, a local audience, and a global audience. Our internal audience is here. It's what I see here tonight. It's us. It's the church here at Cary. That's our internal audience. And how we move information internally within this church, that is our message board, our website. Those things that we do here to keep each other informed, to help each other through different means. Now there are advantages and opportunities when we deal in the internal audience. Advantages that we keep the congregation informed. And it also gives us an opportunity to teach, to put on there things that can be more, further teaching than what we get just simply here on Sunday or on Wednesday evening. But the challenges and the disadvantages of the internal audience lies in that it needs to be updated very often. Julie knows this all too well. It needs to be updated. It's easy to become outdated. I love when I'm looking at websites and I go, hey, so-and-so is going to be here. I know him. I'd like to get over there. And then I look and it was 2 years ago. And you wonder, are they even paying attention? Do they know that the very front page of their website is 2 years old and hasn't been updated at all? You know, a failure to update says something to people. It says that there's a lack of concern, that they're not very well organized, that they don't follow through on things. So, you know, it's very important that as we consider this internal audience that we keep this updated, it is a high maintenance item. And it's very difficult to keep up with, but I think we do a very good job here, and I applaud those that do that job. Then you also have a local audience. And local audience is going to be Cary. It's going to be Wake County. It's going to be the counties around us. It's going to be maybe even North Carolina. We might even could spread out even through, for the whole state as a local audience. And the advantage is, once again, to teach the gospel. And we have an advantage that through this we can even create a face-to-face meeting that's always going to be better. I will grant you, a face-to-face teaching is always going to be better than an internet teaching or email teaching because it creates a stronger bond between the two people. It increases chances of true conversion. It's better chances of them retaining or remaining faithful to the Lord. It also will create a local resource for biblical questions and answers. You can also use it to create a lot of leads for people that we can take the gospel to. It is, I guess, what we could call the new door knock. The knock on their electronic door, so to speak. There's also challenges and disadvantages. Same as normal teaching would be some of the disadvantages, some of the difficulties that we have. But also, there is nothing to hold them to the study. And that's why I say face-to-face is better. You kind of can call the person and say, hey, let's meet or whatever. But on email, you might send the email, they might never, they can be just gone. Lost in cyberspace, so to speak. Well, the last audience is the global audience. And this is the Great Commission as a whole. This is reaching out to all the world. This is expanding beyond North Carolina. This is maybe, across our country, but more really across the oceans. Getting into those countries that would normally be very difficult to get into. I know 80-year-old ladies that are doing 40 and 50 Bible studies with people in Africa, bringing lost souls to Jesus. And they can't do a lot, physically, but they're doing with what they can. They'll never be able to go to Ghana. They'll never be able to go to Tanzania or to any other of the countries overseas, but they are reaching out. They're there. They're there through the internet. They're there through email. The advantage is that we get to teach the opportunity, the gospel again. We reach people that we cannot reach any other way. I think I told you all about Sun Feng that we converted in China. And we had a very difficult time finding a church for him. And that goes to our disadvantages and our challenges in that, you have little or no opportunity in this particular case for a face-to-face meeting. You also have nothing again to hold them to the study, but even if you convert them, sometimes it's very difficult to get them engaged or placed into a local congregation, which is so important for any Christian's growth. As with any form of evangelism, there are many advantages and disadvantages to working with the internet. However, being able to see these ahead of time may allow us to work on the ways to maximize the advantages and to overcome the challenges to the very best of our abilities. Someone inevitably asks, Nathan, why not just use someone else's site? Why not just use what someone else is doing? Why reinvent the wheel, so to speak? Well, the answer to that question ultimately goes back to our audiences. If we only use what others have done, we have made our targets someone else's problem. And the need is too great as well for only a few workers to handle. We're reaching billions of people. We want to ask just a few to handle that work. Also we miss the chance to show them the love and the concern that the family here has for the lost. that we will do what is necessary to reach them, that we will do what is necessary to reach out and show them the way to Christ. We have the great opportunities to teach and grow throughout all these audience groups. Every one of these, you see, there is the opportunity to teach and the opportunity to grow and the opportunity to teach there in the global forum. That's our job. That is God's purpose. For us to teach and for us to grow. I told you before, and I still mean it, is that I do not take and say, well, this person's more important because they might actually fill a seat in this room one day. Our thought process should be any soul, anywhere, anytime, let's get them to heaven. Whether they ever step foot in this building, if we can bring them to Christ, we are fulfilling our purpose in the Great Commission. You know, this is important because as Jesus told the disciples, He said, "Behold, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white for harvest." John chapter 4 and verse 35. I'll give you a little background on that text. Jesus has just talked to the Samaritan woman there at the well, and He's told her everything about her, hasn't He? And she's amazed. She has gone back into the village and she's told them, "I've met a man who's told me everything about myself." And they're coming. The crowds are coming, and you get this idea that right as Jesus says this to the disciples, they're coming from the city, and it is the whole town. And they're coming down the hill, and Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He's maybe pointing right at the people coming. "Behold, look at them, they're looking for me. They're white for the harvest. There's work to be done." Millions of searches every day for God. "Behold, the fields are white for the harvest." Jesus says, "Look, we got work to do that we might answer that call." I want to conclude just real quick with just a few quick things and ways that we can think about and begin to contemplate. There are some of you that have great technological abilities beyond my own that I hope you will reach out to help me. We will begin here in the next little bit doing a weekly email for the congregation here. It will certainly have things that you can send on to other people. It won't be anything offensive. It will be simply teaching us little lessons about how we can live better for God. Have some humor in them as well. We're going to begin in a few weeks the Life from the Vine Bible class on Tuesday night. But not only, you know, moms, I know it's sometimes hard when you got kids, you got to get them to school the next day, you can't come. But that's all right because we're going to do exactly what we talked about. We're going to be online and you can listen live and you can comment. There will be somebody sitting there at the computer in the class ready to answer questions or even present questions on forward to me that I can talk about live online. We're going to reach out and we're going to be able to invite people to classes such as that. Also going to have more video teaching on websites and on YouTube. We're going to put our face out there. We're going to bring the gospel as much as we can here to the internet. We're going to do videos. We're going to do videos that will teach teens. We're going to do videos that will help young people. Even help our young children learn the basics about God so that they can begin to have a foundation for later years. There are so many great works. And we have so many great people here. So much great talent that I get excited when I get to thinking about all that we can do. If we go hand in hand into the work, and I believe that we will. I appreciate you and love this congregation for your excitement that you have as well for the gospel. You know, this evening our purpose is the gospel. It is bringing the lost to Jesus Christ. And if you are here tonight and you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you know your need to do so, you have been taught and you understand what you need to do, we hope and pray that you will act on that tonight. Make that decision to become a child of God. If you don't know what you need to do, but yet you want to find out, come see me after services. Come now and ask when we sing the invitation song in a moment. Find any member here that's sitting around you and tell them you would like to know more about the gospel. They can probably tell you what you need to know, but if they can't, they can certainly direct you to someone who will. That's all. That's the reason we're here. No other reason in the world. If you're not a child of God tonight, we hope and pray that you'll become one by believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as the Son of God, and being buried in baptism, raised to walk a new life as a child of God, doing everything you can to fulfill His purposes, looking at the world and saying, "Behold, the fields are white for harvest." If you're a child of God, maybe you haven't been looking at the world like that. Maybe you haven't been seeing how many people are lost out there in the world. Get new eyes and see the way the Lord sees people that need to be saved. We can assist you in any way tonight, whether it be through prayers, whether it be through encouraging you. We hope and pray that you will let us as we stand and as we sing.
Jesus is standing in...